sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to the show. Great to have you with us, Norwich, Connecticut. And a Monday from Lowell, Massachusetts, as we hit every garden spot in America. It's important to see garden spots to give you a perspective on how great the Susquehanna Valley really is. There's no air conditioning in the broadcast booth here. We got to a high of 97 degrees here at 1:30. It is now 90 degrees. So, and we now bring in the all-wise, the all-seeing Dr. Buhner. Robert.
Good afternoon, Steve.
Opening of the Olympics, my man, so at some point we need to talk cricket today.
We do need to talk cricket, one of the great games of ever invented. I'll be able to explain the rules, but I thought we might want to talk about that literally as we speak, the opening ceremonies from London. The Queen will be there, the First Lady, and a cast of thousands. And lots of folks around the world have their eyes trained on London, even here in the Susquehanna Valley.
Yeah, I have to make, let's make a prediction on who lights the torch. Let's see. I am going to pick Roger Bannister.
I think that's a good one.
Roger Bannister is the first man, the first person in the history of the mile to break 4 minutes.
And that was done, 1954 maybe?
1954, so you are looking at, 58 years later?
Yeah.
That's my choice to light the torch tonight. They may have an idea of somebody younger, I don't know.
How about as an alternative of somebody like Sebastian Coe?
Sebastian Coe would be perfect. Somebody who obviously medaled in 1980 in particular. When they have the great runners in Great Britain. So that's somebody else that certainly fits.
And isn't there a decathlete who I think set a world record for Great Britain at one point in the Olympics?
Yeah, that's a possibility.
So I can tell you who's not going to do it.
Kate Middleton?
That would be one. The Queen.
Out.
She'll be there in all of her regalia. This is her 60th year on the throne, and is obviously an impressive reign. She is loved all throughout Great Britain, and you know, has carried herself with great dignity. And I think we will hear at some point tonight, Steve, "God Save the Queen." It'll be sung with great gusto by the Brits in attendance tonight. But there's going to be folks from literally all around the world.
Yeah, all around the world. That Michael Phelps, by the way, is not going to be marching in the opening ceremonies. He has early races. He needs to preserve his legs, so he's not going to do that. And I find that to be irrelevant anyway as to who marches in and who doesn't. Because there's going to be a cast of thousands out there anyway. You're going to be able to pick them out. Who cares?
And I think, well, the one big question that happened back, I think it was 92 with the Dream Team, would the Michael Jordans, would the Larry Bird's, all of that crew, would they be in the opening procession? And I think there'll be questions about whether LeBron will be there tonight and the new dream team of 2012 representing the U.S.
Well, I think part of that is that LeBron and Kobe and those guys were in Beijing. I think if you've been to an Olympiad before, I don't think you're obligated in any way to march in the opening ceremonies if you've been there before. But I would think for the guys that have never been there before, have never been a part of it, like take a Darren Williams, for example. I think they're going to get a kick out of it. I mean, because, well, you know, there's so many others before them that never got a chance to as professionals. And I think for them, it would be something that they would miss out on. And I'll be honest with you, as much as Colin Cowherd and they think the NBA is so world-renowned, LeBron James and Kobe are, believe me, Darren Williams can march in the opening ceremonies. Can do so with relative anonymity.
But, yeah, Kobe, LeBron are really, because of what's gone on with basketball around the world in the last – really from the days of the Dream Team, I think, really brought it out from the Antarctic all the way to Uzbekistan. People knew Michael Jordan.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, we have one local, when I say local, relatively local fellow from just north of Williamsport who should be marching in the opening ceremonies literally underway in a couple minutes from London. His name is Josh Richmond. He is from Hillsgrove, which is just slightly north of Williamsport. He is a world-class shooter, and he will be in the double trap event. And he is a world champion in various shooting sports. And, of course, coming from north of Williamsport, everybody has guns and everybody is a deadeye. He might even be the not even the best one coming out of that part of Penn's Woods. But he's a spectacular guy, and he'll be there, one of our guys.
And also Kelly Smith Puzo from Sealands Grove is on the United States field hockey team. And we had her in the show just 2 weeks ago. Let's get to the Facebook and emails I've received, and there's some questions here along the way. First of all, the Kyle Russell Kallian Scholarship 5K race that I was involved in on Saturday, just a note there from that. Not only hit our goal, but exceeded last year's effort by $3,000, bringing our 2012 total to just over $12,000, all of which goes to the Kyle Russell Kallian Scholarship Fund that aids a high school senior entering the medical field. So we thank them for that. Next, this is from Joe. And Joe said this, can you answer, can your guest answer this question? What, if any, significance the changes in the free report have?
Do you want me to go right off the bat and nail that one?
That one's, in fact, it's for you because they know that I'm incapable of it.
Okay, well, I think you're more than capable, but let me take a shot at it, Steve. The one incredible error that was belatedly corrected with little media fanfare and certainly not Louis Free out in front of microphones to explain it was an email where it was reported backwards. And the email appeared to have Vice President Schultz telling the legal counsel for Penn State, Wendell Courtney, that he, meaning Schultz, had no knowledge or information about the 1998 episode, The Boy in the Shower, the first known contact that Sandusky had that brought charges. The problem was, that's not what the email said. It was the opposite. Courtney, the legal counsel, is telling Vice President Schultz, I was not aware of the 1998 incident. The free report initially made it look like Schultz was lying when it was very clear from other emails that he did have knowledge of 1998. The corrected version shows that that was not the case. And, you know, that's part of the groundwork that they used to sanction Penn State. And it was clearly and blatantly wrong.
So that was Joe's question on email and Facebook at stevejonesshow.com. Joe, thank you for your question. The next one, let's see, this next one is from Robert, all right? And Robert writes in, he said some nice things about the show, which is nice. As far as you know, has any player in the current football roster decided to transfer as of today? As of right now, Robert, not one has transferred, but we do know that Silas Redd has met with USC and with Lane Kiffin. They had a three-hour meeting yesterday here in Connecticut, and he might be making a trip to Los Angeles this weekend. We don't know about that. Kyrie Fort is said to be talking with the University of California at Berkeley. Kevin Hapley is said to be talking with Florida State, the tight end. And Anthony Ferris said to be talking with Texas, but and Jameel Pollard with Rutgers. Those are the only five that I know of right now that have talked, but nobody has transferred yet.
Steve, a question for you on the kicker Ferris. Is he from Texas?
Yes, he is from Texas. He's from the Houston area.
That's what I thought. So in one sense, it would be staying at home for him. It's not like he's from somewhere in the traditional area of Penn State. And
except for this part though, Bob, he has a lot of relatives in Philadelphia.
Ah,
a lot.
And I thought I saw a report, and it was that he had been offered from Florida State. Now I could be wrong on that, but I thought I saw that in one of the regional papers that emanates out of Harrisburg.
Okay, and then, of course, Kevin Hapley has evidently been contacted by Florida State. Does the transfer to any other school without losing eligibility apply to any other sport programs besides football? No, it only applies to football. Okay? The next question is, I understand Penn State was not allowed to appeal the NCAA decision, but will they have the opportunity in 2 to 3 years to make their case that they have followed NCAA demands, and could they have some relief from the punishment and sanctions? According to Bill O'Brien today at the Big Ten football kickoff luncheon, Penn State, his impression would be given that opportunity in 2 to 3 years. So that's something to put in your back pocket.
Steve, do you remember the old-time baseball movie with Robert De Niro, I think, called Bang the Drum Slowly?
Drum Slowly, yeah.
And there was a scene in there where the baseball players on that team were sitting in the hotel lobby playing a card game, and they would sucker some guy in to play, and they called the game Tag War. And they would always, the poor sucker, the mark, would always lose his money because the Tag War stood for the game without any rules. And I think that's where we are with the NCAA at this time. We don't really know what the rules are. So could Penn State go back in and reopen negotiations? Nothing prevents it because there aren't really any rules on this kind of situation. Right. It just sort of, it's there. Nothing prevents it. Nothing permits it. But I think that it would be reasonable to assume that Penn State will make a concerted effort, and especially if there are new facts that come to light, because as we talked yesterday, there was not a lot of fact-checking in the free report because so many of the key players would not talk with them.
Right. Right. And number four on his list, Bob, is do you know who the university presidents are that sit in the NCAA committee that handed down the sanctions? I do not, but I'm sure you can Google it and look it up yourself. It would be interesting to see the academic achievements of their universities compared to the academic achievements at Penn State. Next one on here, this is from Daryl. Daryl, I have a lot of these today, Bob.
Wow.
From Daryl, kudos on how you've handled this, blah, 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 blah. Okay, I appreciate that, Daryl, very much. If Coach O'Brien took anything from your playbook, Penn State football will be back. That's very nice of you to say. Thanks for not jumping to conclusions that almost everyone else has done. That's what makes the media so destructive. And the other part, too, is there's a laziness within certain segments of the media where they accept what they're told and don't read it themselves, and that's a problem.
That's a critical flaw, I think, in so much of the coverage on this. Okay, raise your hands. Who has read the free report, at least the first, say, 60 pages? Who has read the grand jury testimony of Joe Paterno? It only lasted 8 minutes. Who has really taken the time to do that? I don't think you'd see in a media room a lot of hands in the air.
And the next one I have is about the free corrections, which you just discussed. So that was the next one. So we'll take that one out. But thank you very much for the email. The next one is about FIFA. And this is the ones from Ryan. And Ryan says, hi, Steve. What do you think about the recent decision by the Court of Arbitration for sport in connection with an alleged election bribery case and lifetime ban from soccer involving a former FIFA presidential candidate? It looks like they discounted the free group's findings. I found this statement relate in a related article. Quote, it overturned the ban because a FIFA probe led by former FBI Director Louis Freeh's agency failed to find conclusive evidence. And, in fact, they had to reinstate him. So that's Ryan from Williamsport. That's his.
Well, I think it was actually the criticism was even a bit harsher than what Ryan had in his email. I mean, because the free report to FIFA was rather damning of this official. And FIFA, when they had the appeal and actually had a chance to ponder it and hear other versions of what happened, really rejected the free report. It wasn't, it wasn't namby-pamby. It was like, this is rejected. This guy gets back in.
Yeah, they reinstated him. This one is from Joe in Connellsville. Applaud your optimism. However, the next 2 years recruiting will probably be really, really bad. Why would you want to come to Penn State with a possible one or two bowl appearance, with the possibility of playing in only one or two bowl appearances? Well, you know what, Joe? I don't think recruiting is going to be, quote, really, really bad, because Bill O'Brien and his staff, since they took over January 6th and then once he was done with the Super Bowl, were put in a position where already people were piling on and recruiting against Penn State. And you know how I feel about the star system and so forth, but at least it's a gauge for fans when it comes to talent and who's recruiting that talent. And Bill O'Brien and his staff, I think by all accounts, have done a marvelous job recruiting. And they've been recruiting in this atmosphere from day one. So they're going to have to tweak recruiting somewhat only because they have 15 max to work with and have to be within a 65 scholarship limit. And it may change how they want to go about business in terms of what positions they recruit, how many players at that particular position, and the depth. That will be the. But I think they have a message that obviously resonates with young people and that they like because they have people coming on board and joining them because believe me, just because of the probation and just because of a bowl ban or whatever, there are four parts of this that I thought were critical in Penn State. First and foremost, above all, was would they be allowed to play? The answer was yes. The second thing I listed for Monday was there going to be a TV ban? That never came up. So the two most important things that I needed to hear on Monday were playing and TV. That meant volumes to me. Then the next thing was scholarships. That was number three. I knew they were going to get hit. They did. They got hit very hard. But there's a way of doing it and getting through it that I think makes it palatable. And the fourth thing that I had last on my list was the bowl ban. Because I think that's the least significant of this. In the end, this upcoming class, because of current numbers that you're allowed to have, you might be able to redshirt this entire class. And that way you would still have 2 years of championships to play for and bowls to play for the class that's coming in, because numbers will allow them to do that. So that's that from Joe. I understand his concern and the question, but that is my answer.
Steve, isn't every game at Beaver Stadium in front of that huge crowd akin to a bowl game, and can't Penn State actually add another game to their schedule? I knew there was talk about not a bowl game, but a little trip to Hawaii that was mentioned somewhere along the line. There are other things they can do.
There are other things you can do, and Hawaii has been mentioned, but that cannot be a 13th game now. They changed that rule a couple of years ago because USC did it when they were on probation. You can still play them as one of your 12 games, and you can go out there and schedule at the end of the year. And I think that is certainly a big plus. And I think a lot of Penn State fans wouldn't mind a trip to Hawaii once or twice along the way.
I would be glad to sign on as a co-host with you when you're out doing the Steve Jones Show by radio from Hawaii. I could easily find my way there.
Absolutely. Her's excess baggage anyway.
Yeah.
nice email from Tim Newton, who's the play-by-play voice of Purdue. I just want to let people know that he did that. I also got one from Paul Keels at Ohio State. Doug, who gets a hold of us from Wellsboro, sent this in. Steve, I haven't been able to listen to your show on a regular basis. I don't know what you've been saying about this entire scandal. Can you make sense of any of this for me? I'm at a total loss for word. The bowl, postseason bans, loss of scholarships will cripple the program for a decade if it ever recovers. Doug, I personally believe it's going to recover, and I think it's workable because as each year goes by, we get closer to getting back into bowl contention and getting back into championship contention because you'll go through the first year. Well, after this, there'll be three left. And after next year, there'll be two left. And again, you can, redshirt the incoming class because of the numbers that you'll have available to you next year anyway. And you can, if you wish, redshirt many individuals in the upcoming class and then save them for years three and four in this, and then say years two, three, and four in this, and then save them along the line so that they can play and participate at one stage or another in possibly as many as two bowls and two championship seasons. So, again, my order was, are they playing? Yes. Are they on TV? Yes. Those are the two biggest things that I saw that were the biggest things that Penn State had to have in order to survive. They got both of them. After that, while the scholarship part is stringent, you're looking over a five-year span where 13 scholarships a year gets you to 65, 17 a year gets you to 85, so you're missing on four opportunities a year if you play the numbers just right.
And Joe and Steve, for the fellow from Wellsboro, we know one thing is not going to change at Penn State, regardless of what the NCAA did, and it's real simple. It will still offer a world-class education to those students who wish to attend. What goes on in the classroom has not been affected in any way, shape, or form by what the NCAA has done.
You're going to get a world-class education, you're going to get a world-class fan base, and you're going to get a world-class experience from a football coaching staff.
Doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to get all of that and more. Penn State has more resources available to this if certain other schools were put on probation at the time. And I think that's because I believe that Penn State has the ability, because of more resources and a better fan base, to weather this compared to other places that don't quite have the resources and don't have the fan base. And believe me, the fan base is going to play an absolutely critical role in all of this. In fact, they're already putting together a rally at the practice field for Tuesday morning at 6, fans in the area. I mean, that's what they're doing. And, again, very impressive. Very, very impressive. You just can't say enough about what the fan base means. All right. So we are rolling away to the bottom of the hour. I know we were supposed to take a break, but we'll take a break, and then we'll roll into Mark Lawrence and his brilliant rendition of the news coming up. Our number is 1-800-795-9565. 1-800-795-9565. We're brought to you today by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. It's the weekend, and after this week, I think we could all use a beverage. And of course, Sunbury Motors, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, and of course, the Lenape Solar Hotline at 1-800-795-9565. Breeze, there, great to have her on board today. Bob's there, great to have him aboard. And just for her, Jamie Bestwick. I know, Bob, you're aching to talk about cricket.
Yes.
And we'll get to the cricket thing after Bestwick. We'll talk to Jamie Bestwick after the news, bottom of the hour, News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, has all your summer partying needs. They have beer. They have snacks. They have soda. They have water. And did I mention they have beer? Brewers Outlet has a huge selection of imports and microbrews, some incredible deals, and they're a great beverage shoppable store. Fresh roasted peanuts daily, and check this out, a new Help Yourself Pickle Bar. Brewers Outlet, the beverage supermarket Sunbury, wants you to enjoy the summer, and don't forget the beer.
Going the extra mile isn't measured in distance. It's measured in pride, integrity, and holding up your end of the deal. And it's delivered in a Ram 1500 truck. With the only light-duty engine lineup to achieve up to 20 mpg highway and better light-duty crew cab residual value than Ford or Chevy. Go the extra mile at the Ram Summer Clearance Event. EPA estimated highway MPG 4x2 model comparison. Actual results may vary based upon ALG 2012 model year forecast effective January through August 2012. Non-sales weighted average of all light duty crew cabs for each model at 36 months, 15,000 miles per year. Trade in your vehicle and get $7,200 in total values on Ram 1500 Bighorn Crew Cab when financed through Ally Financial. Financing for well-qualified buyers. Values include cash allowances and $3,200 package discount. Trade-in vehicle must be registered to buyer for at least 30 days. Package values based on combined value of individual package items. Residency restrictions apply. Take delivery by 7/31.
I know you're aching to talk, Chris.
I am, but, you know, the guy you're interviewing is a Brit, and I'll bet he knows all about cricket. And if we get him on at some point again, I think he and I can talk about the 5 days that it takes to do a one-hole cricket match. Just imagine 5-day tailgate inside Beaver Stadium.
Incredible. Well, let's bring in. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we were back on.
We are.
Oh, okay. I heard the Brewers out in the background.
Okay. That's just for theme for the your guest that you're going to interview.
Oh, very good. Okay. Well, let's get to this here now. Let's bring in Dr. Bestwick because, look, Bob and I only appeal to a certain segment of the audience, and they're both listening to us right now. With this accent, he appeals. I'm telling you, Jamie, you appeal to the female audience. You're helping us.
Do I appeal to the female audience?
Well, I don't. Sorry, you have a bet.
You mean a lot of the region like the word tomato.
Aluminium. In fact, they eat it up.
Potato.
They eat it up.
Great.
Hey, congratulations, by the way, on what you accomplished.
Thank you very much.
You know?
It was tough getting out of bed this morning.
I bet it was. You know, this is not your hour, man.
I don't think any hour is today.
Yeah, I don't think any hour is today. You know, we were just talking. I was talking on the show about things that make this area very special, okay? And you've chosen to be a part of this community and to get actively involved. What have you found in this area that has made it a special place to live and be a part of?
Well, you know, I mean, I grew up in between two big cities in England, and I moved out here in 99, and it was always the beautiful countryside that really struck me first. And then once you, you never really get past that, but
right,
so to speak, once you get past it, you know, there's so much more to this community than the beautiful looks. It's just, it's got some fantastic people. And when you're privileged to meet those people, you know, you build some valued friendships. And, you know, like anything in life, you know, you have great friends. There's always something that's going to happen to people that you know, very dearly or friends of theirs or just part of the community. So, you know, it's a great thing to be a part of. I love this area. I love trying to do as much as I can for everybody I can. It's a great place for me to train and be the best at what I can be. And, you know, when I take my days off and I'm not using the resources in this area, you know, I'm enjoying everything that Penn State's got to offer.
We're with Jamie Bestwick, by the way. And, Jamie, you put together the Bestwick Foundation. What was the inspiration behind the Bestwick Foundation?
I think for me, you know, and I'm sure everybody can kind of relate to this, but I've lost pretty much everybody in my family through cancer. You know, local friends that have been struck down with cancer. My partner, Steve Greer,
yeah,
you know, he had a huge incident with cancer, and it really just, you know, it stops you in your tracks. You just, everybody kind of goes around doing their day-to-day thing, and when everything's fine, everything's great. But then when somebody's brought down by a disease that's so debilitating, it's tough to see that person in such a vulnerable state. Yeah. And, you know, Steve was the strongest guy I know. He was always super fit and in the gym and,
yeah,
you know, having a laugh. And he's really one of those people that is like, you know, an institution in this area, because he's just, it's like everybody knows him.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there should be a 600-foot-high statue with a big sign,
yeah,
saying, "Have you ever met Steve?"
Yeah.
But they probably, yeah, took it down because everybody did meet Steve.
Yeah.
But he's just one of those people, and I loved being around him for his positive attitude. And then seeing him go through, you know, cancer and seeing what it did to his family and his friends, and then seeing everybody turn around, you know, because Steve didn't want to lie down and just take this on his own, you know, just seeing everybody turn around and give him the help and support he needed, well, that was pretty inspiring. So, you know, I thought it was about time that, you know, we did some together, you know, and he's got a great friend in Dan Rallis, and he knows everybody in this area.
Oh,
so
he knows everybody, all right, yeah.
Like
does.
I say, you know, yeah, if you don't know Steve, I mean, yeah, you know, I mean, there should be a sign on 322, "You are leaving State College. I hope you say goodbye, Steve."
Yes. Look, to be honest about it, I have kidded Dr. Greer for years. Yeah, as you well know, we have a lot of laughs together. But what you say is absolutely right. I mean, you want to talk about? I know he's standing here, so that's fine. But I'm going to say it anyway. If you know him, you love him, you think the world of him. And I want to say this: there are very few people in their life that would have had the guts and the fortitude to have come back the way he did. I know he had a great support system, but there's something inside of him that somehow allowed him to fight back from something that would have, I think, killed anybody else.
But I think, you know, too, it's a credit to the people that you surround yourself
with.
And if there are people willing to, you know, to to give you those moments where you're at your lowest ebb or your lowest area of self-doubt, and they give you those pick-me-ups. I mean, that's what this area is all about. I've always felt that, you know, everybody has a good neighbor, and there's always somebody willing to help out. And, you know, I mean, the emphasis of what we're trying to do is to raise money for local people suffering through cancer. But it doesn't really just stop there. I mean, we just want to help out. I mean, this is such a great community. You know, this, like I say, outstanding people. And the more fun things we can bring to town and get people involved in, you know, it's just, I think it's an educational thing. And plus, it's getting people physically fit as well. So we're just trying to be... you know, we're trying to be good in these summer months.
Well, coming up on Saturday at the State Theater, it's going to be called The British Invasion. I don't know where you came up with this.
You know what? I have no say
in the naming.
In the name of that. This was all done behind my back. I was off on a trip, and I came back, and I met Steve, and he says, oh, guess what? We're doing a music thing at the State Theater. And I was like, yeah, cool. That's fine. What's it called? Oh, The British Invasion. I'm like, oh, wow, okay, fine. I'm like, I suppose I'm heading it up then. He's like, yeah. Any details?
You're hosting it.
Oh, yeah, well, great. Yeah. Well, no, I'm not hosting it. I'm not hosting it. We had to go out there and bring in the best of the best of the region. So
yeah. There'll be auction items, by the way, including a beautiful St. Augustine, Florida weekend getaway. That includes a hotel stay and transportation. Greer is ineligible. Penn State football weekend includes hotel stay, catered dinner with head back. Building and football facilities as well. That's all part of it. There are many more auction items as well. And this is going to take place Saturday. There's going to be a Brits Bash and VIP reception at the state.
At the Indigo,
from 5 to 6:30, and then the British Invasion concert itself coming up, and the Beswick Foundation and the State Theater, of course, sponsoring all this and more. Not bad.
Good stuff.
It is good stuff. So what's next for you after this?
Well, after we get Saturday night's festivities out the way, I go to the Olympics in London the day after. And I'm there working with NBC for 2 weeks. And then I've just got my competition schedule back on after that.
What do they have you scheduled for in London? You'll be working what?
I'm doing the BMX bike racing for both men and women and the mountain bike racing for both men and women.
I want to ask you about that part of it, since you'll be broadcasting for NBC. The transition now, I mean, you and I sit here and it's a nice casual conversation, and we've talked before, coaches versus cancer events. In that part of it, what's been the biggest adjustment for you from being competitor mentally and having to do what you have to do versus the preparation and mentally that you need to do to be on a broadcast?
I think the biggest thing is I've had to change my voice from athlete voice to TV voice. Yeah. I'm the next rider for the USA, Connor Fields. They always value perspective. And whether good or bad, you know, what we're covering essentially is a race. And around the races, you try and build who the characters are involved in the race, you know, the little bit of their history, how they've come into this event, who's the favorite, who to watch out for, you know, who the underdogs. And you just try and kind of then just relay what's happening as the race goes on. So there's all these different things, and me being an ad, you know, to where, you know, what they're feeling right before the gate drops and they let go. And, you know, for me, I've been in those situations for many years, and I've always, you always get the same similar feelings before any big event. So to have that kind of information on hand, and, you know, obviously I've legitimized a lot of my stuff, so it actually sounds like I know what I'm doing. You know, it's good for the viewer, it's good for NBC, and it just adds a bit more kind of class and credibility to the show.
It's also good for the sport too. It's good for
the sport.
I mean, this exposure is great for the sport.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, BMX racing is, you know, it's I think it's a more mom and dad sport.
Yeah.
And you know, it's kind of what the kids are getting into, and you know, I think it's just so much fun, and it's so high impact, and I think it deserves a place in the Olympics. You know, I think moving forward, there should be more youth sports now making their way into the Olympics. And it's not to say that, you know, the things that have been there, you know, for many years are starting to wear thin, but it's just they have to find room now for the youth-oriented sports, the action sports that are coming through. And
which and, the Winter Olympics have at least started to do. The summer has just started to make inroads.
Yeah, they just, you know, they've just started to make inroads, and but they need to look at winter. And, you know, some of the most popular events are the halfpipe for ski and snowboarding. I mean, it literally is. You know, it's in a different class to what everybody else doing. Not to take away from downhill skiing and you know, the slaloms and stuff like that. We've grew up on those. But now a different generation of people are growing up on something different, and I think it's time, and they deserve a place in the Olympics.
It also has become, viewer-wise, some of the more popular things. Because, look, I mean, even people 25 to 54 see this being done and sit back and go, you have to be kidding me. It's exciting to watch.
Well, you know, the crazy thing is if you look at some of the guys in the Olympics, and let's say you look at some of the action sports guys, you know, you know, they can be the biggest thing while they're at the Olympics, and much like other athletes, like, you know, the runners, the swimmers, Michael Phelps.
Yeah.
But I only ever kind of, you know, I only hear those names once every 4 years. But with action sports, all those guys are competing week in, week out. They're either at the Olympics, they're at the X Games, they're at the Do Tour, they're at some World Cup events. So they're always, always in the public eye. Mm. And they're always, you know, doing some reality TV shows or just kind of fun, you know, TV programs. So I feel that the action sports athletes are actually far more accessible than, you know, some of these true Olympians. You know, and I'm not knocking them by any means. It's just that, you know, I don't hear, other than Michael Phelps being on a Subway commercial about 6 months before they're going to kick the games off, you never hear from the dude.
Yeah, you don't hear from Usain Bolt, no offense, fastest man in the world, until you make the transition from Beijing, and then 4 years later, he's running again in London.
Yep.
And that's a perfect example of that. How long did it take you to get used to having somebody, a producer, in your ear as you're attempting to form a thought? Now, most producers, I'll say this, are fair about it, because what they'll do is they'll try to talk to you while the other person's talking, but every once in a while, you get covered.
Yeah, I've got a really good producer in Billy Matthews.
Okay, sure.
He's from the New York area, and I've worked with him many times, and he'll be working with me and Todd Harris at the Olympics. And, you know, it's tricky. You know, everybody looks at TV and they're always quick to criticize the guy behind the microphone. And, you know, sometimes, you know, his choice of words could have been better. There's always something. You pick a slip here, pick a slip there. But what you don't understand is he's probably got about three people yelling in his ear. Also, he's got in the other ear, he has the information being relayed to by the other guy, so he's got two different people in his ear, or even three if somebody jumps on in the right hand ear. So there's a lot going on, and also at that time he's always looking at the action that's going off. You can't take your eye off that for a minute, and somehow you have to decipher this jumble of words into rearranging what you're about to say into something different. And don't forget to include this, and now this guy's down in fifth. And it's a whole juggling act, and it's took some years to get used to, but it's a lot of fun. It really is a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, because, I mean, you and I can talk about it because I lived through it. So I know, you know, between Big Ten Network and all the other things. Yeah, so I can understand that. One more time before you get to London. The opening ceremonies, by the way, are going to be on Friday night, but this is going to be on Saturday night here, and I know it's a very important fundraiser for you at the state coming up on, because the Bestwick Foundation, it's going to benefit so many people down the road.
Well, the thing with our foundation, I mean, you know, much like any foundation, everybody wants to do the best job we can.
Sure.
The best thing about what we do is, you know, this is every cent goes back to the community in whatever shape, form it is. Like I said, you know, our primarily objective is to help people with cancer, but it's not our only objective. If we can jump in anywhere and help people out, That's why we're raising the money.
The most important part of any fundraiser is if you can make people feel as if that when they give a check or a dollar, that you're essentially handing it to a person that needs it penny for penny. People will come out in droves for that, and that's exactly what you're doing.
You know, we just, you know, Steve, he's worked with some great people in the past.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, for myself, this is the first time I've ever got involved in something of this high level. As in previous years, I've just been a donator.
Yeah.
You know.
Or a contributor. Yeah.
Yep, a contributor. But I've always wondered, you know, where that money went to.
Yeah.
And it wasn't physically like I had a say in it. You're a contributor, a donator. So, you know, for us to be on the opposite end now, it's easier for us to say, okay, this is where the money goes.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. It goes to this lady or this family here. So, and we've done some really cool projects, you know, especially after last year's cycle ride. We donated to COVID, Coaches Versus Cancer,
yes.
CVIM. We put on a children's party towards the end of the year for, you know, 10 families kind of chosen by the CVIM. And we treated them all to a Christmas dinner. Santa came, kids got presents. And it was nice. It was just a nice opportunity for people just to kind of get together and have a Christmas meal together. And it was... you know, we enjoyed it. So to do things like that is super easy, but it means so much more to people when you do it. And it's not like, it's not like some ego stroking contest. It's just, look, we really want to help out, and we're happy to help out. Nat, you know, have fun. We'll leave you alone. We'll come back, clean your dishes, and everybody have a Merry Christmas.
Jamie Beswick. Jamie, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Yes, once again, for the female audience in Accent, now you're stuck with Buhner and me until 5. We'll come back with more of the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this.
Business owners, listen up. Reducing your electric bill goes hand in hand with increasing your energy efficiency. And now you can accomplish both with a hand from Lenape Solar. Your approved PPL ePower Trade Ally. Upgrading to energy efficient lighting in your facility has never been simpler or more affordable. And we do all the paperwork for you. The ePower Direct Discount Program for PPL customers pays you up front for up to 75% of your project cost. And with the savings you'll clearly see, your project can easily pay for itself in less than a year. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for energy efficiency and solar energy solutions. And now is the time to lower your business's electric bill and increase your bottom line forever. With a hand from Lenape Solar, this is Tanya Diddy, and I invite you to schedule your free, no-obligation energy analysis today by calling 570-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.
Congratulations! Now that you've gone to Sunbury Motors, that vehicle of your dreams is now a reality. To keep it running at its absolute best, you can rely on the experts at Sunbury Motors Service Department. They offer a wide range of car repairs and service updates, including general repairs and that all-important regular maintenance. If a factory recall is the issue, Sunbury Motors Service Department can handle them all, from all the major manufacturers like Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln. All warranty service and repair is done with the utmost care because they treat your vehicle just like it's their own. Whether you need an oil change, transmission service, brakes, or even engine repair, Sunbury Motor Company has you covered. From the smallest item all the way up to the largest, the service department at Sunbury Motor Company will do it all with the same attention to detail. Visit sunburymotors.com to use their handy schedule service to make your next appointment, or call 888-536-8017. Sunbury Motor Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Welcome back to the show. Great to have you with us. Now, that cricket conversation we were going to have, because I know you're an expert on cricket and you've been aching to talk about it, but we can't get there just yet.
No.
I mean, a couple other things we need to talk about. Baseball, by the way, is going to get instant replay.
Well, that's a shocker.
That?
Wow.
What they want to do is they want to replay balls that are trapped or caught. And then, on top of it, they want balls that are hit down the line, fair or foul. And that's what they're looking at.
You know, it's not like the game is fast-paced anyway, Steve. You know, it's not like there's a timer like there is in basketball for the shot clock or football to get the play started. So, you know, baseball is a leisurely game. They have the luxury of spending countless minutes and decades looking at instant replays.
Right, exactly. So if you're going to go out and argue a call, all right, you're wasting time for everybody in the park anyway. And that time can be better spent saying, going out and saying, guys, that ball's down the line. I want to see if it's fair or foul. And have it challenged that way. And I think, you know, the other part, too, is you can hire a fifth umpire and have that umpire with the replay up top looking at this stuff, and they can make overrules. So I'm for that, plus the trap. The trap of a ball that is sinking in the outfield, to me, is the equivalent of in the NBA where they want to expand this to check to see if it's goaltending, if the ball hits the backboard and you pin it, or whether – now you can't really tell if the ball's on the way down. I think that's too much of a judgment call. But a ball that hits the backboard then is pinned, then that happens to be a play – that should be a basket. If a ball is hit before it hits the backboard, then it's just a block. And I think that's, to me, the equivalent of a trap ball in the outfield is that particular play.
You know, they call that in other sports like rugby and even that famous sport cricket, the third eye. And it's used extensively in other sports around the world to give you the advantage of technology. And that's really what we're talking about, is using today's technology to get it right. And so much for the, you know, umpires are human or referees are human, and to be a human is to make a mistake. Well, there's a lot at stake, and when you have the technology, it seems, why not use it? I think they ought to add something to that, though, Steve, is if they're going to use replay, then keep the manager off the playing field. He can't run out and kick dust on the umpire's shoes and things like that. He stays outside the lines, let the call be made, and let's go on with the game. Because they spend hours out there, it seems, arguing, and I think they're actually exchanging dinner plans, but they seem like they're arguing, and that does take up a huge amount of baseball time.
It does take up a lot of time. The only way I would allow a manager to go on the field is if they come out and say, guys, I would like to have that looked at. And then as simple as that, then you make the request and you go through. I think that's as simple as it should be when it comes to that, because I know it's a, quote, show within itself, but after a while, I think most fans sit there and go, okay, fine, just go back to the dugout, okay? I've had enough, just go back.
It gets old real fast. Here comes Sparky out of the dugout. Oh, boy, here you go. I think maybe what they ought to do is take a page out of the football book and give them a little red flag to throw out of the dugout or something. Okay, challenge. There you go.
And then it becomes a part of the culture the way it has in football, Bob, because now people expect to see the flag come out. The fans start chanting for the flag to be thrown.
They do, and, you know, because of the ability of the announcers, broadcasters like yourself, to see what goes on, that word filters through the stadium in milliseconds, it seems. And then you are looking down at that sideline. You're waiting for that coach to reach into his pocket and throw that thing out in the field. It's just part of the game. You're so right. It's part of the culture.
It is. And, you know, what's odd, Jack Ham and I, of course, have a monitor in the booth. The second something comes up where the fans want to know what the result happened to be, we laugh because there's an entire contingent in the sections below us that immediately turn around and look at us, and they say, well, and you feel like you're in the movie Gladiator. Thumbs up, thumbs down. You feel at that moment like you have the power of the emperor.
Yes, and, you know, when I come up to Penn State games, I take my headset to listen to you because I want to know what the replay will show.
Well, we head to the top of the hour, and, Bob, I apologize. We're going to have to put the cricket talk off until the next hour.
I think it can wait till after 4 o'clock.
All right. Mark Lawrence in the news coming up. News Radio 1070 WKOK.